All right. Well, it's good to be back in God's house tonight. Good to see all of you. And God bless this morning. The young lady got saved. I thank the Lord for that. Amen. And God just said, preach the word and let the Spirit of God do His work. And He does His work well. Amen. For sure. I'm glad it's not up to me to save anybody because I surely couldn't. I might want to, but I can't. Only God Himself has the power to save a soul, and so we're grateful this morning that God touched down on someone and saved them, and we just trust that God will take them and make them and mold them to be what God wants them to be. Amen. If you have your Bibles, turn with me tonight, if you will, to Psalms 103. Now, I got to thinking about this morning how we sing a song, I think it is, we praise the Lord for the great things He hath done. And saving a soul is the greatest thing, I guess, that we can see God do in our midst. And then a child of God maybe getting right with the Lord being the next thing. But God's so good and so great and does so many great things for us after we're saved. I don't think we know how to appreciate all of it, really, sometimes, or how to be thankful for it sometimes. But what I want to do tonight, I want to just turn that around a little bit. I won't be thankful tonight for some things God hasn't done. Amen. And it'll be a blessing to you. Let's just go to the Word of God and find out what the mind of God says about it. And we stay in the book long enough, God will begin to speak to us, talk to us. Amen. I believe that with all my heart. So if you will, please stand to your feet for the reading of God's Word. I'm going to start with verse 8. And for the sake of time, verse 8 and go down to about verse 14, and so we'll start with verse 8. The Bible says, "The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will He keep His anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor reward us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is His mercy toward them that fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far as He removed our transgressions from us, like a father." Pitieth His children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear Him. For He knoweth our frame, He remembers that we are but dust. And so I want to call your attention, you can be seated now. I want to call your attention to verse 10. Now that's where I'm going to start, because like I said, many times we thank the Lord for so many great things He's done for us. We even sing that song over and over again sometimes. But tonight, let's just thank Him for some things He has not done that's a great thing. And so we'll look together at verse 10 as our first where we want to go first. The Bible says that He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor reward us according to our iniquities. That's a good thing, is it not? Praise the Lord. I tell you what, if I'm a Christian, I need to be thankful that God doesn't deal with me according to my sins, because if He did, I'd be in bad shape. And I'm sure you would have to agree you would be too. Amen. Even though we're saved. One thing we got to remember, when God saved us, we were on our road to hell without hope, without God. And we certainly wasn't anything about us that could please God whatsoever. But when God saved us and began to make and mold our lives, He always wants to make us and mold us to be like His dear Son. Amen. Like I said this morning, if you have anybody you want to use as an example, don't use me. God forbid you'd use me, because I tell you what, I can cause you to fall in a minute. Amen. But if you put your eyes on Jesus and let Him be your example, you'll fare well. Amen. Try with all that's within you to be doing those things like Jesus said in John 8:29, "I always do those things that please my Father." Ain't that what He said? Well, I'll tell you what, you and I ought to have the same attitude about our Savior, our Lord. And by the way, I do believe in Lordship salvation. I don't believe that He's your Savior and He's not your Lord. Amen. I believe when I got saved, He became my Lord. Luke 6:46 says, "Why will you do those things? Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do the things I ask of you?" You see, when the book speaks to me, God, hey, I take it literal. I take what God says to me to the heart. And I ought to want to obey Him. Now, I may sometimes not have the ability to do everything He wants me to do. And I may stumble trying to do some of it, but I ought to give it all I got to serve Him, please Him, whatever I can, to walk right, do right, and hey, please the Lord. Not pleasing mankind. In fact, man, I think of Paul every time I think about that. Paul said, "If I please men, how in the world can I please God?" Amen? But you can't, because sinful man will lead you astray. God never leads you astray. God leads you down those plain paths, amen. It takes you down a good road, And hey, that's why if you're saved and you're near to the heart of God, you can be a happy Christian. Amen. And we got a bunch of them that look like persimmons these days. Amen. But I'm just saying, listen to me. We're not thankful enough for what God's did for us and in us and through us. We ought to be on praising ground all the time. Now, I don't mean get real. I mean, I'm not Pentecostal by no stretch of your imagination, but I think there's room for us to pray, Baptists, to praise God for the good things He's done. But then He's also, some things He's not done, we ought to be very grateful for, too. And one of them is, He's not dealt with us according to our sins. Now, when I think about that, even as a Christian, I think, boy, if God was to collect all in vain, then, I mean, listen, I ain't none of y'all ever had a bad thought, I bet you have. Never have, as a Christian? Now we've added to our sins by lying, haven't we? Okay, well, we all know that we have, amen? But aren't you glad that God doesn't hold that against us, amen? I preached on repentance this morning. A sinner needs to repent so he can get saved. And when I do wrong or think wrong or whatever, I need to repent and ask God to forgive me for that, amen? And He does it, amen? What a blessing that is. But anyway, let's move along a little bit. He's not dealt with us according to our sins. In other words, He's been very merciful and very lenient with us, that's for sure, has He not? Would we all agree He's been very lenient and merciful with us? I guarantee He has, amen? And so, but we're often prone to forget this, and especially when we see others doing something we disapprove of, we're not as merciful with others as we should be. Now, I'm going to get down where we live on some of this stuff. I mean, you know, God's a merciful God. He teaches over and over He's a merciful God, amen? There's a parable in the Gospels, I think, one man owed the Lord some money or something, and God, y'all know the story I'm talking about, and the Lord, his Lord, he came, begged him to forgive him and give him some time, he'd pay it, whatever, and the Lord was merciful to him and let him go. But then when he got all well and happy and everything, got his thing going, he had someone under him, he didn't show no mercy at all. Well, that's the way a lot of us are sometimes, amen? We need to exercise the same attributes that God. Mercy is one of His attributes, and hey, He wants us to be merciful too, because we're just all old sinners saved by grace, amen? I mean, I'll tell you what, we all make mistakes, we're all going to have somewhat sin in our lives, and you can't deny that. Hey, this old flesh is going to get, you're going to battle your flesh till you meet Jesus face to face, amen? And so, I know that's real, I know that I have a battle going on in my mind, my heart sometimes, but hey, aren't we just glad that we're His? Amen. I can count on the Lord to come and help me in those kind of times. And that's what's a blessing to be. That's why it's so good to be a Christian tonight. You're not going to be perfect till you get there. Some folks try to get perfect before they get there, but they're not going to make it. You can tell them for me, they're not going to make it, okay? They're going to do it. But hey, with the Lord, He'll help His children, that's for sure. Now, had God dealt with us, that is, done what He should have done, and give us justice, we would be dead and probably in hell tonight if he dealt with us like we need to be treated, amen? So I'm thankful tonight. I don't know about you, but I want us to be thankful for these things that God's not done. Be thankful that God's not dealt with you according to your sins, amen? I mean, boy, what a blessing it is to know that God's a forgiving God. I just put a few things here. Once in the Old Testament, Exodus 20, verse 7, the Bible says, "Thou shalt not take the name of thy Lord thy God in vain." Now, I tell you what. Now, I don't expect. Here's what I don't expect. I don't expect anybody that's a child of God to use that word. If you do, I'm gonna doubt your salvation. And I don't back up. I don't get whatever. I'm just straightforward with that. Because here's why. I've been saved 52 years of my life. And I do know this. I was one of the worst God-cussing heathens in all the world. And when God saved me, He yanked that out of me just so quick. And by God's grace, hey, I'm not doing this number because, hey, even today, after 52 years left to myself, I can still do that. You do know that, don't you? The devil catch me off guard, hit me just right, I'd be doing it just like the old heathen is doing it. Amen? But you know what? That's what's marvelous about God's grace. That's what's marvelous about His presence in your life. The sweet Holy Spirit of God living in your heart. He's there to be your helper, amen. That's what the book says. And He's there to help you over those kind of things. And by His grace, I've not used that word one time in 52 years. I'm not bragging. And if I am, if it sounds like bragging, let me just tell you who I'm bragging on. I'm bragging on Jesus, amen. I'm not bragging on me. God knows, I left to myself, I'd just still be that raw heathen, old Ron, be a raw heathen. And it's only by God's grace. Whatever you are, you're there because of His grace, nothing else. And if you ever become anything for God, it'll still be just by God's grace. Amen. You've got no horn to toot about how spiritual you may be or whatever, because we're not. It's only by His presence in our life that we are, as Paul said, I am what I am by the grace of God. Amen. What a blessing that is to be. But even more wonderful to know that I'm His. Amen. There's the problem today. A lot of people just don't know that they're His. Amen. We've got to be sure we're His and He's ours. Amen. Got to know that you're connected to God in all this. Amen. But that's not hard to do either. If you're really saved, you know that. And so also in the New Testament, there's things like, Proverbs 20:20, in the center of the Bible, it talks about those who curse their father and their mother, his lamp shall be put out in obscure darkness. See, I tremble at the thought of the way kids are today. I mean, listen, I've got 20 grandkids and 16 great-grandkids. And by God's grace, my wife was talking to her sister today about that over the dinner table. We're thankful tonight that most of ours are saved and serving the Lord. Amen? But I've got some in mind that's not there yet either. But it's fearful, those who don't know the Lord, and sometimes a little bit, even those who say they're saved, it's fearful how no respect they have for older folks and for the parents, and they don't honor their fathers and mothers like they should. I mean, that's spooky to me, amen? I mean, because God means what He says. And I tell you what, some, if you was like me when I was lost, I don't think I was a great child. I may not have had Christian parents, but that doesn't matter. I mean, God didn't state whether they had to be saved or not. If you've got a father and mother, you're supposed to honor your father and mother. It doesn't make any difference. That's what the book said. And so I don't think I did that, but boy, that's another reason I'm glad I'm saved tonight. God showed me that, hey, what a rotten rascal I was, and when I raised mine, I'm going to teach them to honor their father and their mother and respect older people and, hey, be decent young kids, amen, because God expects that out of them. But nevertheless, I'm saying, though, we can't look down on them because, hey, lost men do what lost men do best, and that's just things against God, amen? It's saved people that needs to try to straighten. If there's any straightening up, it's the saved people that need to do the straightening up, amen? Not lost people, because they need the hand of God on them. They need to be saved by God's grace before they can ever start doing anything, amen? But anyway, we're talking about God has dealt with us according to our sins, and I just know we live in a sinful, sinful world today, tonight. I think in 2 Timothy chapter 3, it gives us a long list of that and tells us, you know, that about how wicked the times will be in the last days. And man, it's just amazing, amen? Well, on and on we could go in the Bible as far as full of examples of warnings about how awful sin is. I mean, I think of David, a man after God's own heart. Just to show you how weak we can be and to show you how mankind can never do it on his own. King David, of all men, man after God's own heart. I mean, God's choice, amen? He was, did he not? He fell into sin. Some people think, one thing about the Old Testament, God didn't spare him in the Old Testament. God, if they did something, God exposed it. And the Bible says to me that those things were written for my learning and my admonition. God did that. God placed them there. God didn't necessarily want to reveal David's sin to the whole world, but God thought it'd be good to use David as an example to you and me to let us know that sin will thrill you and then it will kill you, amen. And that's exactly what it did for David. And David, there's a lot of arguments about how long he stayed in that state, but I don't think it took probably a whole lot of time. It wasn't too long God had a man of God staring him in his face saying, "Thou art the man." And letting him know, you're the rascal that did all this, and you're the one that's guilty. Don't be looking over your shoulder. Don't be looking down in the yard. So it's you, man, that did it. And that's what God wants to do for every one of us. God wants to point to you and me and let us know. That's why David in one of the Psalms said, "Search me, O Lord, and see if there be an unclean thing there." You see, he got to a place in his life where he would search himself out to see if there's anything between him and God. And if there was, he'd repent of it, amen. And so that's a good thing for us to do. But nevertheless, if God had dealt with David like he should, I mean, David would have, probably his days would probably been shortened. But God don't, does he? God does not deal with mankind after his sins many times. Amen? I really think the only way that God really gets rough on that, and I'm going to use this and move on. I believe if you're a child of God and you persist in sin, for instance, let's just take David for an example. If David had persisted in his sin and ignored all the warnings from God about getting right about it all, and he didn't think much about killing Uriah, the woman's husband whom he committed adultery with. In other words, if he had made light of all that, God would have shortened his days. You see, I believe in as a Christian these days, and this is something that ain't preached very much, but it's true. I do not believe that a Christian can go out there and sin and persist in their sin and stay in it and make a mockery of God and His Word and others who try to live for Him. If they do, God will shorten their days. They'll die before their time, amen, is what they'll do. Because if you don't believe that, you've got to go to Hebrews chapter 12 where it talks about the chastening of the Lord. He says if you don't take heed to the chastening of God, then you're... And it doesn't bother you, don't affect you in any way. You're a bastard, not a son. I'm not cussing. That just means you're illegitimate. You don't belong to him. Because if he's your father, he's going to spank your britches and get you back where you need to be. And if you don't, then you're probably that one that was illegitimate. Amen. And so God, but if you are, and you persist in it, and you just stick your face in God's face, he'll take you alive. He'll say, look, I'm tired of you shaming my name. I'm going to take you home. Amen. So he does that. And so, I don't know where all that came from. I thought it was okay. It didn't hurt you none, did it? Okay. All right. So, on and on we go. David, and then in the New Testament, Peter, who denied our Lord three times. You know, you'd think that was... Really, when I was a young Christian, that just floored me. I couldn't imagine God putting up with a man who would deny him three times. My goodness, that was something else to me. I don't know many of us that would really just come right out and deny the Lord. I mean, I ain't thought about that in a long time. Would you really deny the Lord in any situation or whatever? I shudder at the thought. Now, I know that I'm old sinful man. I'm capable of doing it. Peter was, and he did. But don't you know Peter was glad that God didn't deal with him according to his sin? I know I would be. I mean, and we've done a lot of things in our life, too. We just have to get on our knees and say, thank you, Lord, for not dealing with me according to my sins. Please forgive me, amen? And you go on with God, amen? But to say, on and on we go about all that, but let's move on a little bit. Let me just end that little point by just saying God's a forgiving God, and when we repent, He forgives. Hallelujah, amen? God is a forgiving God, and there's something that we as Christians need to learn, for sure, about forgiveness, amen. I think some of us think we know how. Some of us probably have done some of it, but there's a lot to be said in the Bible about forgiveness. A lot of it. You can make a good study of it, even if you needed to. He has not remembered our sins. That's the second thing I want to talk about. He's not remembered them. Let me give you some scripture right quick. He's not only forgiven us, but He has forgotten our sins. Jeremiah 31, verse 34, for I will forgive their iniquity and I will remember their sin no more. He puts them behind His back. I'm just giving you some things about how God feels about your sin. What He did with your sins when you got saved, this is what God did with them. He's not only forgiven us, but He's forgotten our sins. Ain't that a wonderful thing? Well, that's what getting saved is all about. God forgiving my evil past. You see, one thing about the precious blood of the Lamb of God is this, and this is the most wonderful thing I can think about the blood of the Lamb of God that was shed at Calvary. How'd you like that word, shed? Don't like that? What word is it we don't like? Spilt. No, it wasn't spilt, because spilt denotes an accident. You can knock a glass of water over accidentally and spill it. His death on the cross was not no accident. He went there purposely with one thing in mind. I'm going to shed my life's blood for the world today. And all that will come unto me shall I in no wise cast out. Amen. What a blessing that is. Thank God for His promises in the Word of God. And so He puts them behind His back. Isaiah 38:17 says, for thou hast cast all my sins behind thy back. He has put them into the sea of His forgetfulness. Micah 7, verse 19. that will cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. And it also puts up a sign that says, no fishing. He cast them all in the sea, in the depths of the sea, and put up a sign that says, no fishing. See, a lot of people, when they first get saved, can't, God forgives them, but they can't forgive themselves. A lot, hey, God doesn't remember them anymore, but they keep letting them come up in their own face. Amen. God said to, hey, forget them like I did. Forgetting those things which are behind, but press forward to the high mark and calling in Christ Jesus. Amen. That's what we're to do. So we're to press forward. And so he blots them out also. Not only does he cast them in the sea of his forgetting, but he blots them out. I have blotted out as a thick cloud thy transgressions and as a cloud thy sins. Turn with me to Hebrews, if you will. Hebrews, we're going to read a little few scriptures. Hebrews 10, and let's go to verse 15. Talking about blotting out our sins, here's what the Holy Ghost said. Whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us, for after that he had said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Ain't that good? You know, you're very privileged to be a Christian tonight. I mean, just think about it. Once you was lost and on your road to hell, once you was blind and you couldn't see, I mean, listen, once you were dead in trespasses and sins, and since Jesus found you, saved, have the mind of God because you know His Word, because the Holy Spirit lives in your heart and is your great teacher, He teaches you the Word of God. Amen. The mind of God. You've got to remember this book you got in your hands is the mind of God. The only way you're ever going to hear His voice is to hear it preached or get it in yourself and read it and study it. I promise anybody that goes to this book and stays very long, you're going to hear God's voice. I believe old lost sinners hears, and hey, that's why God put in Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. A man has to hear the Word, and the more he hears, the more God deals with his heart, and sooner or later, he'll believe God and get saved. Amen. I believe that. And there's a problem. The problem's not in God saving anybody. God could save the roughest heathen in the world. And he has. Apostle Paul testified to that. He wet his sword with the blood of many a Christian, threw a lot of them in jail. But when he met Jesus face to face, his life changed. Amen. That's why he was the one in 2 Corinthians 5:17 could write, therefore, if any man be in Christ, and mind you, you gotta get right there first. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All old things are passed away, and behold, all things become new. He was a changed man. Now, I don't know about y'all, but I still believe in old-fashioned salvation that changes a man. No change, no heaven. No change, I tell you what, who's gonna go to heaven without God changing their life? Can the Ethiopian change his color? Or can the leopard change his spots? Hey, he can't do that. Neither can a man that's accustomed to sin save himself or get clean and go to heaven. Amen. Can't do it. He can't do it. Takes the Lord. That's why Jesus took time to say, I'm the way. I'm the truth and I'm the life. No man, I like the last part as well as I do the first part. No man cometh to the Father except by me, he said. Have to come to Jesus to meet the Father. Amen. And if you don't love them both, you ain't saved. if you claim to know one of them and don't know the other, you're in bad shape, is all I can tell you. Because, I mean, I believe my old pastor, when he preaches, he gets up and he starts to pray. He'll say, Lord Jesus, Father, I love you. Lord Jesus, I love you. Blessed Holy Spirit, I love you. He names them one by one and tells each one like they're, and they are, they got separate offices, right? They're three in one. Don't misunderstand me. They're three in one. God is God. The Son, Father, Son, Holy Ghost are all one, but He likes to tell each one of them that He loves them. Amen. I don't see anything wrong with that. I want the Holy Spirit of God to know tonight I love Him. I want the Lord Jesus to know I love Him for what He did at Calvary for me. And I want the Father to know I love Him for thinking of me as a sinner. And while I was yet a sinner, He loved me to Himself. Amen. What a blessing. And then I want to talk to you for a moment about He's not forgotten us. I think I'm forgetting something here. We was talking about in verse 16 or 17, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. I want to say this about that. Thank God for His promises that are sure and steadfast. Amen. Especially one like that. And then I put a notation out. This is something that we need to understand as Christians about forgiveness. Turn with me to Ephesians, if you will. I don't know a better place to go than Ephesians chapter 4. In fact, I teach a lesson on forgiveness out of this chapter, and it's really good. Let me just give you this, because this is important to us who are Christians, amen? You know, there's a lot of things we could be saved and going to heaven and still be so wrong with God in so many areas. Look what it says in verse 30. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. Now, that first, we don't hardly ever think about us grieving God, but my brother Jimmy, I didn't call him Larry at that time. Jimmy. We need to understand that we can grieve the Holy Ghost. And probably we do it every day of our life. We're just not conscious of it. But let me show you what God's Word says. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed in the day of redemption. Boy, it's going to be we until you go to heaven. And then all throughout all eternity. Amen. Aren't you glad the Holy Ghost lives in here? You know, I don't think some people think he really moves in when you get saved. I always put it like this. The devil moved out and the Lord moved in. Hallelujah, son. I know one thing. I had the peace of God in my heart so much that night. I was thanking God over and over again. Lord, thank you for saving this old wicked man. And it's been a blessing, amen. 50-something years. I don't want to go back where he found me. I'm happy where I'm at, amen. In his graces, amen, for sure. He goes on to say, whereby we're still in the day of redemption. Now listen to me, Christian. This applies. This don't apply to a lost man. You know that, don't you? Can't apply to a lost man. He's all these things and three times more sometimes, amen? Then he may be the nicest guy in the world, but if he don't know Jesus, he's still lost is what he is, amen? And so it goes on to say this. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Now I know ain't none of us guilty of none of that. We be Baptists, ain't we? Well, I want you to know Baptists are guilty of all that, too. Not. Don't start pointing your finger at all them other religions, because the Baptists are some of the worst, amen? We do all that crazy stuff. Hey, sometimes we're bitter. Sometimes we get angry and mad. Sometimes we get evil. We speak evil about people and about things and whatever. But God says, let it be put away from you with all malice. And then he goes on to say something that will really help us. He goes on to say, and be ye kind one to another. That'll help. It's when you're as wicked as I was, it'll take you a long time to learn how to be kind, brother. I'm telling you. But hey, I'm glad I got a good teacher, amen. Now, the Lord can teach you how to be kind, for sure. And so he tells us in that verse, be kind one to another, tenderhearted. And there it is, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. And when I read Romans 5:8, God commends his love toward us in it. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. While we were yet sinners. And when he put his hand on you and you asked him to forgive you, he forgave you. He forgave you. He did it for his son's sake. Amen. God forgave you for his son's sake. And so, like God, that's what he said. Even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. Well, hey. If we love the Lord, we ought to have the same attitude. Yeah, when people ask forgiveness, we ought to forgive them, amen? And like God, don't remember it anymore. Put it away. And so that's all I want to say about that, because a lot of people just don't do it that way, man. A lot of people don't understand the business about real forgiveness. And then last of all, he's not forgotten us. I'm getting ahead of myself. He has not forgotten us, and I need to start right there. Isaiah 49, let's go there. Isaiah 49 right quick. Isaiah 49. Good verse right here I'm fixing to use. I love this verse. 49, I think it is, verse 14. It says, but Zion said, the Lord has forsaken me, and my Lord has forgotten me. Can a woman forget her sucking child, that she should have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget, yet will I not forget thee. Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. Boy, what a blessing that is. God tells us that a woman can forget her child, but He's not that kind of God. He'll never, if you're His child, He'll never forget you for sure. Amen. I think in Hebrews 13:5 tells us that in the New Testament. Let's go there and read it right quick. Hebrews 13:5 says this: "Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have, for He has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." Now that's a promise of God, and I always like to call people's attention to something that's a promise from God. Amen. Because you can't count on my promises for sure, and I can't count on yours. I don't even have to know y'all that well. I can't count on your promises because you're a human being. But on the promises of God, a man can stand sure and steadfast on. Amen. You can stand tall with God when He makes a promise to you. And so He will never forget who we are. I'll tell you what. He'll never forget us for sure. Joshua 1:5 tells us that He'll never, and Joshua knew that truth real well. He said that God told him He would never forget him. But I like it. I used to tell my little church that I had, I turned to Luke chapter 24. Let's look to, Luke 12. I'm sorry, Luke 12, verse 32. The Lord said to him, it said here in verse 32, "Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." I mean, listen, you know, God loves His flock, does He not? And I always pastored a little small church. And I used to tell them that you may think no one loves you, but I know one that does. He loves His flock, amen. And He called them His little flock, amen. And so the Lord had some followers that loved Him, and He loved them supremely, and He never forsook them for sure. There's a lot of things God won't forget about us as being saved. I'll just mention them to you and move on. It's one thing to be saved, it's another thing to be one of His sheep, be one of His children. You know, we're called a lot of things in the Bible. I'm His sheep, I'm His child, I'm a lot of things to God. But more than that, I'm one of His sons, amen. Not the son, but I'm one of His sons. And that's a real blessing to know that you're that closely connected to God the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, amen. We don't understand how privileged we are to be a part of the family of God. What a blessing it is to be a part of it. And so, He'll not forget our weaknesses. God knows, He knows you better than you know yourself, amen. He knows your weak points, and He's always there to be able to help you in those times. And so what a blessing it is to be able to count on Him. He'll never forget our tears. The Bible said in 56:8, Psalms 56:8, "Put thou my tears into thy bottle." Now, I didn't even know when I got saved God had a bottle He put tears in, amen. Didn't know that. In fact, I'd been saved a good long while before I knew that. But the Bible says He does, so I know one thing. He'd not forget those tears that's been shed by the saints of God, for sure. Amen. And we'll shed a lot of them before we meet Him face to face, but nevertheless, He'll never forget them. He'll not forget our works. Malachi 3:16 said a book of remembrance was written before Him for them that feared the Lord. Then He'll not forget our prayers. Revelation 5:8. "And when He had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of the odors, which are the prayers of the saints." You can believe one thing, and I'll not say much about this except just this. A praying church needs, a church needs to be a praying church. And I don't think anything's accomplished apart from prayer. I thank every man that I've ever won the Lord. I thank God allowed me to spend a lot of time praying for his soul. Amen. And many times, if you do that, not expecting God to do one way or the other, you know it's your duty to get out and pray for that soul and asking God, you do what you do best. Lord, please save him. Don't let him go to hell. I believe God many times answers those prayers. Amen. And I don't think God does anything apart from prayer. Everything that we do and everything gets accomplished is done through people who spend time with God in prayer, beseeching the Lord. That pleases God for us to come to him and ask him to do for us what he knows we can't do for ourselves. You can't save a soul, so that's why you ask God to save them for you, amen? You love their soul, you want to see them in heaven, but you've got to go to God the Father and plead with him, "Lord, please save him," amen? And I believe God honors that prayer. And so you may not, but I do. That's me. We ain't all alike, but I hope we can all be in agreement with that, amen? He'll save that soul that's nearest hell if you'll pray for him and be earnest about it, amen? And so it's just a lot of praying that God's people needs to do. But he'll not forget our prayers. I don't care what they are. Somebody said, "Well, I pray and I pray and I pray. It seems like God never answers me." Well, you ain't done yet. I mean, what's your hurry? You got to remember, God ain't as big a hurry as you are. God never gets in a hurry. As a matter of fact, we make most of our mistakes by getting in a hurry. Amen. We need to slow down and let God take care of God's business and just do what we're supposed to do and trust Him. See, we need to learn to trust Him more every day. I mean, put our faith in Him. We believe the Bible, do we not? I know you do. You believe the Word, but you got to learn to trust Him when He tells you something. It's one thing to say, I believe it, but it's another thing to trust Him. You believe that. I tell you, that works. You've got to trust the Lord to do something. Casting your cares upon Him, for He cares for you. That's what He'll do for you. But nevertheless, He's not forgotten our prayers, for sure. The Bible says in Hebrews 13:5 that I just read you a minute ago that He'll never leave us nor forsake us. Notice how it said, the Bible says it like this, for He hath said. I wonder who that He is. That's God. That's the Lord. Amen. He has said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. Amen. You can count on it. God never leave you nor forsake you, and He'll not turn you away in your prayer. You know, there's only one thing that'll hinder your prayers. You do know that, don't you? If I regard iniquity in my heart, God will not hear me. Amen. Sin will separate you from fellowship with God. It'll separate you from your prayers being answered. You see, sin's your enemy. And it'll get between you and God and make a mess of your life if you're not careful. That's why we need to be on guard. As a matter of fact, I think the book of Proverbs teaches us to guard our heart. You have to put a guard around your heart. The devil's not aiming at your... I had an old deacon one time said, boy, you stepped on my toes. And I said, well, I missed. I was aiming at your heart, amen. I missed big time because, hey, God's not shooting at your toes tonight. He's shooting at your heart, amen. He wants to penetrate your heart and sink way down deep in your soul so that you can come up believing God for something, trusting God more for something, amen, so that God can do something for us, amen. Believe me, God wants to do something for us, but we've got to trust Him and obey Him. We've got to be on line with Him, amen. He don't just bless you because you say you're a child of God. I know a lot of children of God that aren't being blessed. Y'all know that, don't you? I ain't talking about them being lost. There's a lot of folks going to heaven, but you know what I found in 1 John 2:28? When Jesus comes, there's going to be many stand ashamed at His coming. Well, I hope I'm not in that bunch. Dude, I don't mind telling you, I don't want to be there. I want to maybe hear my master say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. That's what I want. But you know what that's going to take? That's going to take walking with Him. That's going to take living right, walking right, praying, reading your Bible, staying in the book, and fellowshipping with God. Amen. Got to do it if you want to have a well done service. And so he's not forgotten. For one thing, He's not forgotten us for sure. I'll tell you what, God knows exactly where you're at, and knows what you're doing. I'm glad He's with me. Amen. Count on that too. And last of all, He's not forgotten His promises. God's not forgotten His promises for sure. Let me just give you a couple of verses and we'll close. I mean, I'm telling you, the Bible speaks many times of God not forgetting His covenant. Psalms 105, verse 8, Psalms 106, 45, talks about Him keeping a covenant. That word covenant translates over to a promise. God gave Abraham some promises, did He not? And God fulfilled them. And there's some yet that He gave to Abraham. It's not been fulfilled yet, but they're going to. I mean, a covenant made with God to man was a promise of God to that man. Well, God's not forgotten His promises for sure. And so let me just give you a few out of the Bible. Let's go to Job, if you will. Job, the book of Job. I like the book of Job, too. I think it's... I think it's Job 23:12, I think it is. 11. My foot hath held His steps, His way have I kept and not declined, neither have I gone back from the commandment of His lips. I have esteemed the words of His mouth more than my necessary food. In other words, what Job is saying, I know and love God's word, but I believe the promises of God's word. Amen. He esteemed His word even more necessary for his soul than it is necessary food for his body. Now, we don't miss many meals, do we? We're good about eating, aren't we? Yeah. Well, I'm not against it either. Don't look at me like that. I mean, I like to eat, too. And the reason we do is because if we eat right, it's good for our bodies. It's healthy for us. Amen. Well, God's making a statement here through Job. Job said, look, I esteem his word more necessary for me than the food that it takes to keep my body healthy. Amen. And we ought to, too. How much time do we spend in the word? How much time do we really want to seek God's face and him speak to us about something? Or we pray long enough to see God do something, amen, and not give up? Now, we give up too easy. We need to just trust God. There comes that trust word again. Just trust God for it. He said it. I believe it. It'll happen. And most times it'll happen whether you believe it or not, amen. I guarantee that, too. And so, he's not forgotten his promises, for sure. Now, let's turn to Psalms 138:2. Psalms 138:2 says, I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth, for thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. Now, listen, you need to underline that scripture. God made a big, bold statement right there. He magnifies his word above his own name. You want to know how precious your book should be to you? God esteems it even higher in his own name. I'll tell you, that's going some, amen. But his word is the power of God unto salvation, all who believe. It's many, many things. It's like a sharp, two-edged sword in a Christian's life, amen. It's the discerner of thoughts of our hearts. I mean, the book will, hey, it'll do a lot of wonderful things for an unsaved man and for a saved man, amen. Because it's God's holy word, amen. And so, too faithful. I want to close just by saying I thank God tonight for these things that God hasn't done. I'm glad he still keeps his promises. I'm glad that God hadn't dealt me according to my sins. I'm glad that God hasn't never forgotten me. I think I remember King David saying in Psalms, in the book of Psalms, he said, once I was young, now I'm old, but I have yet to see the God's seed bed for bread. Amen. Listen to me. God takes care of his own. Amen. He'll do it. I've got two faithful companions in my life. One of them sitting back there. She's second, by the way. The first one is the Lord. Amen. The Holy Spirit of God lives in my heart since the day I got saved. And I never have to worry about, is he there? He's always there. Amen. And the good thing about it is, in my weak times and whatever times I may be having, I always know he's there to help me. Amen. What a blessing that is as a child of God to know that and to believe that and to trust God for that kind of thing. I mean, listen to me. God said it. God meant what he said. Hey, if you're saved tonight, the Spirit of God lives in your heart. And he'll take care of all your needs if you'll just trust him. I can't overemphasize the word trust tonight, because that's the weak point in every Christian's life, seems like these days. It's just learning how to trust God more and more. Learn to trust him. He wants you to. God will be gracious to you if you'll trust him, amen. One thing for sure, he don't owe any of us anything, does he? Not a thing. And so I appreciate preaching to you today. Appreciate you having me. And I just want to say the Lord's that most faithful companion I got. And then my wife's always, how many years, baby? 54 years? 54 years been married. That beautiful, I call her my silver-haired beauty. I mean, listen to me, she's a wonderful wife, amen. And she stuck through me in times when I thought she should have just walked away. If I'd been her, I'd have walked away. But she stayed with a man that was trying to do something for the Lord. Amen. And it's not easy. Us men sometimes think it's not so hard, but it gets really rough on the women sometimes. Amen. So I tell you, I'm thankful for my wife, thankful for my Lord, thankful for God's book. I tell you what, I don't have any possession as great as the one I'm holding in my hand. Greatest possession Ron Zabrowski owns tonight, right here in his right hand, amen? God's holy word. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, and I'll pray, and then, Jimmy, if you want to do anything else, that's fine.